Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. A few weeks ago, I finally got to watch, or finally watched the 2004 movie Mean Girls. Now, just a quick kind of outline of what the movie's about. It stars Lindsay Lohan, and she is playing a young woman, I think Katie Heron, who has been homeschooled on the plains of Africa by her scientist parents, and now she's entering, I think, the junior year of high school after, you know, being homeschooled all these years, first time in public school. And a very smart young lady, very naive. And so she basically ends into this vicious pit of cliques and pecking orders and all those other wonderful things that high school has to offer us. And being the outsider at first, she's invited by a couple of people who are longtime members of the community but are seen as outsiders to become a friend. But there is this, of course, like all high school movies, there's the popular girls. And in this movie, they're called the Plastics. And the leader of the Plastics invite her to come sit with them at the popular kid table. And so basically, it's a movie of how her nerd friends want her to infiltrate so they can bring down the Plastics. But instead, she becomes basically what she loathes, you know, because suddenly she gets a little taste of popularity. Now, like all these movies, the annoying thing is near the end, really there's no resolution other than the fact that they all get a year older and realizing this whole popularity thing was just a phase anyway. But we know that isn't always true. You know, as we get older, this striving for popularity, we might become a little bit more covert and subtle about it. We might be a little bit more diplomatic. But as we hear in our gospel today, there's often this desire to still be sitting at the popular kid table, to be, I guess, one of the Plastics. When Jesus gets to this banquet from one of the Pharisaic leaders, he watches as people are jockeying for this, you know, for the big seats of honor. And as he's watching this, you know, we of course get this parable when he's telling people, you know, instead of going for the high places, go for the lowest. Because when you start at the bottom, there's only up to go. You know, instead of embarrassing yourself, and this idea of being humble, instead of being, you know, the self-absorbed person. But then he goes on to talk about the importance of an open table. That instead of trying to invite people to your table, to your house, to your dinners, people that, you know, may do something for you in status or for your position in society, people who make you look important, friends and families, that you should consider inviting those that other people overlook, those who are not the popular in our society. You know, and here he has a list of people with various infirmities because, you know, back in that day it was often thought that if you had some kind of disease or were born with some kind of disability, that it was some kind of sign of God's disfavor. Or if you were extremely poor, apparently you weren't righteous enough, that there was something wrong with your character. And Jesus is saying you should invite these people who are the last people in the world you want to invite if you're trying to, you know, up your social status. But as Jesus is trying to have us understand, as we have in the writer of Hebrews, when you invite the stranger, the least likely, the person who seems below everybody's expectation of society. You don't know what you may get. You might, in fact, end up entertaining angels, as the writer of Hebrews is talking about. Now, the church, of course, we are all supposed to be this wide and open community. But as we know, that sometimes, like every other place in life, that with, and a lot of times it's with no intention at all, that sometimes we become a little bit cliquish and we become a little bit of a club ourselves. This idea that we are, you know, we all like to hang out with people we know and have something in common with. And so sometimes, without even intending to, we make other people feel like they don't belong, or maybe they're not part of, or they're not welcome. Because we haven't stepped outside of ourselves. We sometimes forget that we have a big table, that there is room for everybody in our church, and that we as Christians are called to go out and to invite others to come. Not just people who look like us or think like us or maybe have other similarities, but others, all people, especially those people that we may be the last people on our radar. Giving them a chance to be a part of the community and us an opportunity at the same time to get to know and to grow from them. There's this idea that instead of being worried that there's not going to be enough room for everybody, the idea that we build a bigger table to accommodate a lot of people. And I'm not just talking about a physical table, but sometimes it's that idea of our fellowship as a table, that if we get this feeling that we're being crowded out, maybe it's because our idea of our community is too small. And sometimes it comes from a fear, because if you allow new people in, you know, they may bring with them ideas and thoughts and traditions that may not be ours and may change the way we do things. Some people look at the scary things. Some of us look at it as an exciting opportunity. Now, as we're going back to our gospel, we don't know who this particular Pharisee who invited Jesus over, who he was. We can assume that he had a high place in society because everybody seemed to want to be at his place, but we don't know if he was just because he was connected or if he had some position. But what we do know is that people wanted to be seen with him. That people wanted to have some kind of sense of importance. Well, you know, the wonderful thing about being part of the church is you can't get much more important than being a brother or sister of Christ. That it's hard to have a better position than being a child of God. That maybe by maybe opening our hearts and our doors and our arms to other people, that we are adding more to this wonderful community, this kingdom of God, and making a difference in the world. Now, one of the things I find very wonderful about our community here, this church, this congregation we call St. Andrew's, is I think if we really try very, very hard and, you know, and sneak in a few extra chairs and add, you know, a few more seats up there, get rid of a few things. We can almost get about 90 people in this building. Don't tell the fire commissioner. And if we really wanted to, you know, as we've done in the past, where Bill has hooked up the camera system, and we've shown it in the other room, and you know, maybe we can get 150 people. But you know, the funny thing is I've noticed about this church that no matter how, you look at it, it's sort of like the first thing one of the first words I usually hear by people who come visit the church for the first time is the word quaint, which usually means, wow, this is small. But the funny thing is that I've never seen it where we couldn't get one more person in. And I believe that is the way we are with most of our ministries here. There's always room for somebody's child in Sunday school. There's always room for somebody to join us for a social activity. There's always room. And that we don't have to vie for the most important part. You know, that we don't have to look for the right place to be seen. One of the things I do really enjoy about this community is that people are seen. I've never had people go away saying, you know, I was at your church last Sunday and nobody spoke to me. More often than not, you know, the complaint is, my gosh, I was overwhelmed by how many people talked to me. And I think this is what the kingdom of heaven looks like. That idea that it doesn't seem like it's possible to fit another person, but we always do. That nobody's ever left to stand in a corner by themselves. That each and every other person that comes in here is noticed and considered a part of the family. And this is what we need to extend outside of this property, this ground, or whatever you want to call it. This is where we represent ourselves to the world, is a place where everybody is welcome, and that we don't always expect you to come to us, but we're willing to come to you, as you all did here a couple weeks ago when you went down to the veterans place, or those of you who have volunteered to put on the Wednesday meal down the street, or down over there in Mastic Beach, or any other activity that you've all been a part of, is that people realize that you don't have to just come to us. We're coming to you. That you were so important to us that you are really worth the effort. That you belong here. So my brothers and sisters, I know the end of summer, everything gets a little hectic, especially those of you who have children or college students, and sometimes those of you who don't because of your job, everybody's taking those last minute vacations, you know, everybody's trying to keep up and catch up for each other. Sometimes our lives get pretty hectic. But the important thing is that no matter what's going on around us, that Christ is the center of our lives. And if Christ is the center of our lives, then our brothers and sisters, whether we know them or not, whether they are members of this church or not members of anything, that they too are our center of our attention. That as long as we are focusing on God, no matter how hectic our lives are, we will always find a balance, that we will always find space. So my brothers and sisters, I encourage you as you go out in the world today, as you leave this place, that you take this place with you. That this holy table extends and becomes part of the world in which you go into. As it said in our readings to the Hebrew, we need to go out there and look for the stranger, because that's where the angels are. And who wouldn't want an angel around?